You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You excited to be here today? Ready for the Word? Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Oh, hallelujah. I've been wanting to teach on this for quite some time, but just like everything I want to teach on for quite some time, there's only so much time. You know, you get on one subject and you want to cover this subject, you want to cover that subject. And in a church setting, you know, it's hard. If I were an evangelist or just a teacher and gone out to teach, I could have four or five good messages and just preach them all year long. But in a church, we need to be a little more balanced. Not to say teachers are not balanced, stay with me. But God does raise them up in special areas to teach on faith or healing or forgiveness or prayer or relationships and marriage and so on. A pastor just has to teach it all. Because you're so messed up, one thing's just not going to help you. Now stay with me. If we're going to ever live a balanced life, we've got to hear what God says about a lot of different things. And if you just come once or twice, sometimes you get the idea our church is just about what you just heard taught. But if you don't come often, you don't know that we teach other things also. This is a subject I try to teach on about once a year if I can. I'm not always able to do that, sometimes every other year or so. You know, we just taught on finances here recently and for several weeks. What the Bible says about finances, budgeting, borrowing, co-signing, working, investing, tithing, giving, all that. And I thought, well, I need to teach that every so often. It'd been 3 years since I taught that. I didn't realize it'd been so long. We taught on Revelation here not too long ago. And I was just thought it was time to teach it again since I hadn't taught it in 9 years. So, now we're going to teach on the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. What the Bible says about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, if you have your Bibles. It says in the first verse, now concerning spiritual gifts. I love what the Amplified Bible says. It says, special endowments of supernatural energy. Oh, I don't know, that just sounds a little louder. I guess that's why they call it Amplified. But concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, this is fascinating to me, because you have a whole chapter here, the 12th chapter, devoted to the gifts. And the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians also is devoted to the gifts. And several passages throughout the book of Acts where the gifts were flowing and moving in people's lives in great detail. You have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in action in Acts 2. You have it in action in Acts 10. You have it in action in Acts 19. And they all spoke with other tongues. And yet, having said that, that part of the Bible is many times left out in many churches. It is a section of the Bible or a subject of the Bible, gifts, spiritual gifts, that the church, for the most part, is ignorant of. Now, I don't say that in an accusatory manner or fashion. We are very ecumenical. We love churches. We love the Baptist, the Methodist, the Pentecostal, Catholic, and we are pro-church, as you well know. So we're not saying anything here to slam any church or to slam any doctrine. I'm just making a point here. It seems to be that the thing he does not want us to be ignorant of is the thing that we're probably the most ignorant of in a lot of churches. And it shouldn't be that way. There are whole chapters devoted to this subject. One whole chapter here, the 12th chapter. Another one I mentioned, the 14th chapter. The 14th chapter actually deals with the operation of the gifts, how it should flow in the services. And invariably in some churches, Pentecostal in flavor, and we are Pentecostal in flavor, charismatic, faith, you know, whatever you want to say there. In some Pentecostal circles, it's like they've read chapter 12, but they hadn't read chapter 14. They know about the gifts, but they don't know really how they should operate. And so it's kind of a free-for-all, and it's just chaos in Pentecostal churches. And, you know, you often hear them swinging from the chandeliers and jumping the pews and all those kinds of things. That's why we don't have pews and we don't have chandeliers. I didn't want to tempt you too greatly. But then on the other hand, they know something about the gifts, but not much about how it moves or how they operate or how they should flow in a service. And so it's not just important to know that there is such a thing as gifts. There's also important to know how they should move and how they should flow and what the proper order is in a church service. There's been abuse on both sides. Then there's, of course, the absolute ignorance of them and not misuse, just not using. Hello. Not a misdeal, just no deal. Are you with me? And God doesn't want us to be ignorant of them. They're in here. They're mentioned in great detail, what they are, how they operate. We're going to get into it. Hallelujah. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Good question is, what do you know about the gifts? What do you understand or know about the gifts of the Spirit mentioned here in the 8th, 9th, and 10th verses? I'm sure a lot of us would have to say, I don't know a whole lot about them. And yet God does not want us to be ignorant of them. So He wants us to be informed. And they're still around for today. They haven't passed away. In fact, if you'll hold your place here in 12th chapter, turn to 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians chapter, same book, first chapter. Paul speaking. He says in the 7th verse, so that he's praying, so that you come behind or come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, or the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have King James Version, he says that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord. Y'all see that? So he's praying that they would come behind in no gift until what event? The coming of the Lord. So evidently the gifts should be around and we should not come short of them. We should not come behind in them until what event? I know I'm redundant, but I'm trying to make a point here. Until the coming of the Lord. Until Jesus comes, the gifts will be around. That's what's addressed in 1 Corinthians 13 when chapter where it says, when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away. What he's talking about when that which is perfect has come is the coming of the Lord. When the Lord comes, then that which is in part shall be done away. You won't need gifts, obviously, when you're in heaven. You won't have the veil of this flesh. You won't have the darkness that you see through right now. We see through a glass darkly, then face to face. We know in part, we then shall know as we are known, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. We'll just be in perfect harmony and perfect union with the Lord, and we won't need tongues, interpretation of tongues. We won't need prophecies. They'll all be fulfilled. We won't need supernatural knowledge, supernatural wisdom, gifts of healing. You never get sick. You know you don't get healed in heaven? There's no healing services. There's nobody sick in heaven. Do you know there's no hospitals in heaven? Did you know they have no funerals in heaven? There are no funeral services in heaven. No one ever dies in heaven. No one's ever sick in heaven. So until we get there, we need these things. And until we are there, it's a sure sign they're still around and you still need them and we need to know something about them. Amen? So back to 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts or special endowments of supernatural energy. Ooh, I just love it when you say it that way. I always like to say Holy Ghost instead of Holy Spirit. I know it's not proper. I know it's not modern. But you know, when you say Holy Spirit, people don't think a whole lot about it. When you say Holy Ghost, they start looking around like somebody's there. And I think that's a little more proper because really, maybe the word's not proper per se, but we've had the idea that spirit is kind of a feeling or a force or an atmosphere, and actually Holy Spirit is a person. Are you with me? And the Holy Ghost, for some reason, it's an old King James word, I understand that, but it makes you think of a person, an entity, which is correct. That's the biblical way to think about that. The Holy Spirit is a person, not an it, but a he. Hallelujah. And these gifts of the Spirit, come from Him to us. They're gifts to help us, to bless us, to empower us, to meet needs supernaturally. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. In other words, he's telling them, you know your past. Now, this is Corinthians. He's writing to Corinth. He's writing to some pagans, heathens that accepted Jesus. Their background had been worshiping idols and just a pagan background. And he says, you know how you were. He said, I want you to understand these gifts and not get swayed and misunderstand them because your background is a little shady. Hello. We could probably say that about some of us, but I'm not pointing any fingers. They were lost. They were undone. They were idol worshipers. They were led that way by their flesh and of course, by doctrines of devils and demons and so on and so forth. And he says, you were led. You know how you were. Therefore, third verse, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Well, that's a good way. That's probably not going to happen very often, but that's a good way for you to discern whether someone who gets up and has a gift or moves in a gift is from God. If they say anything against God, obviously it's not God. If they say anything against Jesus, obviously it's not God. This is how you define what a cult is as opposed to just mainline Christianity. If someone comes up and has a word from God and says something derogatory about Jesus or says he was not God or say he did not die for your sins, it doesn't matter how charismatic they are. It doesn't matter how eloquent they are. It doesn't matter what kind of following they have. They are wrong, and the Spirit of God didn't tell them to say that because Jesus is the Son of God and he is Lord.
Amen.
Are you with me? That's what separates us from, say, cults out there. That's what puts us in the big family of Christianity. With Baptists, Methodists, and are you with Pentecostals, Catholics, and so on and so forth. We are of the Christian faith. We say certain things about Jesus. Now, anybody gets up and feels like the Lord has spoken to them has got to operate in certain guidelines or parameters. You couldn't violate anything in the Scripture and put a thus saith the Lord on it and it be accepted. You shouldn't accept something that someone says they heard from God, whether by dream or by vision, if it's not in line with God's Word. There are guidelines. There are parameters. Anybody can get up and say they heard God. Anybody can get up and said the Lord spoke to them or they had a dream or a vision. You might have had too much pizza last night. I don't know. Some things don't settle. You know, they make those anti-acid reducers. If you'll eat those, you'll quit having those kind of dreams before you go to bed. It'll help you sleep better. But we don't want to throw away the real because of the false. That, I think, is the danger. And I believe that's where we are in many churches is we just don't want to mess with all the abuse or the possibility of misuse, and so we just don't have it at all. Now, that's the wrong approach because you're throwing the baby out with a wash. Well, we got order. Yeah, but you got order over nothing. Hello. When the Bible talks about order, he's talking about ordering the gifts. Let all things be done decently in order, which we'll get into that later. He's talking in the 14th chapter about the gifts of the Spirit, and he says they need to be done in order. He didn't say just don't do them and have order. No, he's saying do them in order. So often we think we have order, but we actually have order over nothing. We just don't allow it, period. We won't have it, period. And that would be the wrong approach. So he says here, third verse, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now see, this opens up a whole area, arena of discernment, as it were. Just because someone says, thus saith the Lord, you have to be wise enough to find out whether it is the Lord or not. And just because someone comes up to you and says, the Lord said something to you, or I have a word for you, doesn't necessarily mean it is from the Lord. It could be. Are you with me? But it might not be. It might just be them, maybe their compassion, maybe they're wanting to minister to you and pray for you, and sometimes they think the Lord's speaking, and it's not always that case. Sometimes they'll just say things that are completely unscriptural. I remember I was in Lakewood one time, Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, when John Osteen was the pastor. And a lady came up and began to prophesy. And, of course, they had gifts of Spirit flow in Lakewood in those days when Brother Osteen was the pastor, and a tongue interpretation. You would have those things. Brother Osteen would flow in word of knowledge. And this lady got up and she began to prophesy. And she said, my children, I'm here to bless you. And you know, it sounded okay. It wasn't real annoying. I thought, well, maybe she probably didn't hear from God. But then she said, I've been in Jerusalem for a couple of weeks, and now I'm back. Well, that's when the ushers begin to ease up there and grab her and usher her right out. Because obviously, this wasn't God. Not that God wasn't in Jerusalem, but God was here too. God's everywhere. Are you with me? And so sometimes when people just begin to say things, if it's not in line with the Scripture, it's not God. Now, does that mean all prophecy is bad? No. There's good prophecies, good words, there's good tongue interpretation, there's good word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits, and all those kinds of things. You don't throw out the real because of the fake. You know, probably the most counterfeited currency today is what, the $20 bill, is that right? Or maybe it's the $20 bill. And yet, you know, banks still take the real 20s. And I will too. You bring them all. Bring all you want. Hello. Just because there's something fake doesn't mean the real is not good. And don't quit using the real because of some charlatan or fakes out there. Did you know evangelists have gotten a bad rap? TV ministries have often gotten a bad rap. I mean, the secular media likes to take television ministries and just run them through the mill, talk about how no good and worthless they are. Forget all the CEOs out there that are just taking millions upon millions of dollars and people and shareholders and so on. But you let a preacher start doing good, I mean, they're going to rake him over the coals. But what that does, it puts a sour taste in our mouth about all ministry. And then we miss out because we don't even go after those that are legitimate, those that are really doing a good job. Amen. And even sometimes the people they're exposing are doing a good job. They're just, they don't have their facts straight. Are you with me? Now, it's Blaise Pascal, which I quote a lot, a French physicist that wrote a book called Pensées. He said about miracles, he said, if they're, because of all the counterfeits, he said, actually, counterfeit miracles do more to prove that there are real miracles than they disprove that there aren't real miracles. He says, nobody would buy into a counterfeit miracle if there weren't real miracles. No more than, if you think about it this way, if I came up with a counterfeit $3 bill. No one's going to buy that because there's no real $3 bill. But if I come up with a counterfeit 20, that might fool someone because there are some real 20s. But the fact there's so many charlatans and counterfeits out there in the miracle business is just proof to me that there are real miracles. And of course, I know it because the Word says so and it's all through the Scripture. But naturally, if this were true, and it is true, and since it is in the Bible, we know it is, there's going to be counterfeits. There's going to be fakes out there. There are fake Christians, but that doesn't mean Christianity is not real. Hello. There are people that impersonate and imitate officers in the military, but it doesn't mean the military is not real. In fact, there's no way they'd get away with counterfeiting things if the real weren't in existence. Something to think about. That's something to chew on right there. I'm chewing that one. Third verse says, therefore I made known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Everybody say different gifts. Okay. The varieties of gifts, diverse kinds of gifts. Everybody's not going to flow in the same kind of gift. There's all kinds of gifts. There's actually 9 gifts mentioned here in the 8th, 9th, and 10th verses of 1 Corinthians 12. And no one's any better for having one than having the other. We're all the same. It all comes from the same Spirit. Sometimes we want to emphasize one above another. But really, I mean, if God chooses to use you in a certain gift, that's fine. Doesn't mean you're more spiritual than anybody. Doesn't mean anybody that doesn't use that gift is less spiritual. It's not about exalting an individual. It's about edifying the church. And when someone moves in a gift, and we all benefit from that manifestation of that gift, and we're all different. But it's the same Spirit. You know, I like to look at it this way. We've got a lot of different churches. But you know what? We're still Christians. If we preach Jesus, we're Christians, whether it's a Baptist church, a Methodist church, whether it's Assembly of God church, Church of Christ, Catholic, right on down the list. I mean, we love to just stand up and say we're it and nobody else is included in this thing, but that's not the way the Bible preaches it. We have a different flavor even in churches. And thank God for the different flavors. Hello. I mean, there's some people, I don't understand it, that will just never be a part of International Outreach Church. I just don't understand it. I know when we get to heaven, they'll find out we're right. But you know what? I've learned to live with that. I've learned that, you know, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I understand that. But, you know, some people, I am their cup of tea. I know in ministry, I can listen to some ministers, and man, they light my fire. You know what I mean? I mean, they just really light my fire. And yet other ministers just don't, I have a hard time just following them. They're preaching the Word. They're in the Scripture. They're using the Bible. They love Jesus. They're going to heaven. They're not everybody's my cup of tea. Well, not everybody. I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and that's okay. You just don't want to get mad about it. Yeah. Hello. Just realize you're made differently. And when it comes to gifts, they're different gifts. In fact, he lists 9 of them here, and they're totally different gifts. No one's any more spiritual because they have one flow in their life than someone else who doesn't have another one flowing in their life. That's just the variety. It's all the same Spirit, and we need to understand that. There are differences of gifts, but the same Spirit. I love these 3 verses here, fourth, fifth, and sixth verses, because you see the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here, the gifts are by the Holy Spirit. Fifth verse, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord, that's Jesus. Everybody say ministries. That's offices or callings. Ephesians 4:11 says Jesus ascended on high and gave some prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That we call that the fivefold ministry. Those offices you see throughout the body of Christ. Pastors, I am a pastor. I'm also a teacher. I was a teacher before I was a pastor. There's apostolic ministry. There's the prophetic ministry, the prophet. There's the evangelist ministry. But you know what? Same Lord. Although we minister in different offices, it's still the same Lord. See, you don't want to segregate yourself over into one group and say, this is it, and that's all there is. I'm not talking about a local church. We need a local church. But just because someone has a different gifting or different anointing, we need it all. And it's the same Spirit concerning the gifts. It's the same Lord concerning the offices, fivefold ministry. We'll have people come through here and have more evangelistic ministry, more miracle-type ministry. You know, Gary Upham comes, and he seems like every time Pastor Gary comes, or he's not pastor now, but he's out on the evangelistic field. We have more miracles when he comes. It just seems like someone will get, there'll be a healing or a miracle supernatural that takes place. He flows in that. Yes. And that's wonderful. I don't flow as much in that as he does, so we need that. Amen. Then you get Brother Don Murphy in here. Boy, I mean, he's a preacher. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'll wear you out just watching him go from one side to the other, just like this, and preach it. But he teaches. And I mean, some people, I'm telling you, that's their, Brother Don is their favorite minister. Without a doubt, just turns them on. Then there's Greg. What a teacher. Greg Ware that we have come through. You know, you need all these ministries. And everybody's different. Everyone's unique in that respect, in the calling that they stand in, the office that they stand in. But you know what? It's the same Lord.
Amen.
It's the same Lord. And these gifts, well, same Spirit. The very same Spirit. So there's a unifying thing that he wants to talk about before he gets into the gifts. He wants to make everyone understand that although we are different, although the gifts are different, although offices are different, same Spirit, same Lord. And then he says this in the sixth verse, and there are diversities of activities or operations, but it is the same God who works all in all. Spirit, the Son, the Father. Y'all see that? Gifts of the Spirit, ministration or services or offices of the Lord, and then the activities, operations, or the way they work, same God. Now, what does that mean? Well, everybody doesn't minister the same way. You know, Jesus didn't minister the same way every time. One time he told a blind man he was healed and his faith healed him. Another time he spit on the ground or got dirt and spit in his hand and put it in his eyes. That would be a different operation. Wouldn't it be a different operation? I've seen ministers get up and when they pray for people, minister differently. There was a guy named Joe Papel. I don't know if y'all ever heard of Joe Papel. Joe Papel had a real miracle ministry. But Joe had a funny way of, when he'd pray for you, he'd put his fingers in your ears to pray for your ears, and he would, I think he was trying to meet the fingers together inside. And he would do that, and he would actually shake. And you'd shake too, because the pain that you're feeling with the fingers. But he had a real miracle ministry, and when he got through your ears and pop open, they'd be healed. Oh, man, you talk about torture. You ought to see him pray for somebody's eyes. He'd take his thumbs and push their eyes and shake from the top of his head. The tip of his toe would be shaking, and they'd walk away, their eyes would be healed. Well, I'm not going to argue with that. All I know is I was blind, now I see, you know, like the Bible says. How that happens, and everybody's different. I've seen people say, well, I just don't buy into that. Well, if there's a result, and it's biblical in the sense that there's different ways Jesus healed, there's different ways people preach. Are you with me? I mean, I'm not animated enough for some people. I'm too animated for others. I'm too serious for some people. I'm too funny for others. Our church is too Holy Ghost for some people, not Holy Ghost enough for others. I mean, you just can't seem to make everybody happy. It's just not going to happen. You just do what you do and pray that God will minister to people and help people and bless people. Are you with me? And we're all different, but it's the same Lord. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So here he says that it's the same God that works all in all. And you see that not only in the Scripture, different ways that Jesus operated and ministered, and the apostles would operate and minister. They did not act the same way. You know, sometimes Jesus would cast the devil out of someone, and he'd just tell them, quit sinning. You ever notice that? I always thought that was real funny. Every time somebody is in adultery, we think they have a spirit of adultery. No, they don't. They just sin. They just need to quit sinning. If they have one, it could happen. I mean, it could be that way. But see, in the Bible, sometimes you cast the devil out, and sometimes you just tell them to quit sinning. I've seen people, if you just, you know, they're full of the devil, and this is back when I was lost, and I just knocked the devil out of me and quit. I didn't need deliverance before I got saved. Now, that was why I was lost. But the point I'm making is, you know, everybody's different. You know, we think we got it all figured. No, you need to be open to the Spirit of God and what He's saying. And some people are not possessed. Come on. And I think in most cases, the biblical cases, when they're possessed, it's pretty evident. You know, they talked in funny voices and they crawled around the floor like a snake. I mean, come on. Just because you're biting your fingernails, you don't have a fingernail biting demon. Come on. Well, I say these things because people just get so far out there, you know. They get in some sin and they think they just need deliverance and they just need to quit sin and repent and ask God to help them. Hello? Now, there are things that fall in that category of being possessed. I understand that. That's real. I believe the Bible is very plain about that. But it's not something you're going to have to guess at. It's not guesswork. Well, no. I mean, they're talking funny and they're doing funny things. They did in the Bible anyway. They throw themselves on the ground. Or they cry out during services. And I've had that happen. I remember I was down at the Salvation Army one time. I used to go down there on Wednesdays right before church at Lakewood on Wednesday night. And I started out preaching in prisons and Salvation Armies and open door missions. And that's how I started. You know, there's a world out there you can preach to if you feel a call. You don't have to have a pulpit. There's people out there dying everywhere. Okay? But anyway, I was preaching at Salvation Army. I used to go every Wednesday about 5:30. We'd have a service. You know, there was a couple of guys that had come in there that were demon-possessed. I've had that happen, people that were demon-possessed. But you didn't have to guess. You didn't have to wonder. You didn't have to counsel with them for a while to figure it out. I mean, I was talking to this one young man. He came up front to be saved. Thank God for Salvation Army. You come in to a service, you hear a sermon, and the kitchen is behind the pulpit. You cannot go in there and eat unless you hear a message. I think it's awesome. And I've just preached to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands probably, if you had all the services up at Salvation Army. And I was preaching this one time, and this guy comes up to be saved. You know, we had a lot of people get saved at Salvation Army. And after I got through preaching, I was ministering to him and talking to him. And he was a young guy. And I said, "So you want to be saved?" And he says, "Yes, I do." And I said, "You want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior?" I said that. And he said, "Yes, I do." And I said, "Well, let me pray with you." And he said, "Well, I want you to do that." And he's talking real normal, just as normal as he can be. And you can tell he's hurting. He's weeping. And I'm going to pray with him. And he says, "My daddy kicked me out of the house." Just a voice, just like that. My hair went gray, just like this, right there. Nah. Actually, I was a lot younger there, and I loved a challenge. You know, just show me a devil. I want to jump on one, you know, because I've been reading about it, and I want to cast one out. So I'm looking at him. I'm just standing right here looking at him, and he starts crying again. He says, "Oh, God, I want some help. I just want some help." And he starts crying again. And God is my witness. I know this is going to sound funny, but he just says, "I love Johnny Cash." I mean, he was schizophrenic. The guy was just absolutely going in and out of these personalities or whatever. And I mean, this devil was just trying to keep him from praying this prayer. He didn't want to. Are you with me? And he would come, and I said, when he started crying again, he came back. I said, "You got a demon. I can cast that thing out of there if you want me to." That's what I told him. He said, "Oh, God, please help me." Yeah. And so I put my hands on him and said, "In Jesus' name, come out," because that's what the Bible says. Yeah. Right. It didn't say talk to the devil. Yeah. It didn't say get all the information you can out of that devil. No. It didn't say write a book what that devil tells you. Right. For one thing, they're liars. Yeah. And if anything it tells you is going to be a lie anyway. Yeah. And it didn't say carry a conversation on with them. It didn't say rub the Bible back of their neck. It didn't say hold a sack from them and throw up. It just said cast the devil out of them. Well, I'm just dumb enough to think that's what God said, that's what I'm going to do, you know. I'm not smart enough to figure all the other stuff out, so I just said, "In Jesus' name, come out of him, you lying devil." And I put my hands on him, and of course he screamed. And about that time, we'd been in there a while, and we were down just a few people left, and the cook comes around the back just to check the back door to see what's the deal. There's some people still in there. And I noticed when I put my hand on him, I said, "In Jesus' name, come out of him." And he started screaming. That cook walks in the back door and he goes, he walks right back out of the door. So I don't blame him. I've probably done the same thing. But you know what? He got set free. He just started weeping. His whole countenance changed. He thanked me, thanked God, accepted Jesus, and he was completely delivered. You know, but I mean, I could count on my hand the times those kinds of things have happened. One time I was in Bombay, India, and it happened. I had a guy that spoke to me in English. A guy didn't speak English. East Texas English. Well, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I think this is the devil. I'm preaching a service in Bombay, India, and this guy, he literally falls on the floor and starts writhing like a snake. And over in India at that time, they didn't really know a whole lot about demons, I guess, because they started beating on them. And I said, oh, man, Clint, oh. I'm telling you the truth. This is 1980. I was over in 1980. And it was in the fall of 1980. And I jumped down on top of them. I thought, my God, what am I doing? And I grabbed him. I was face to face. He's on his back. And I grabbed him. I said, you lying devil, come out of him in Jesus' name. Now, I didn't speak Indian, but I figured, you know, the authority in Jesus' name is universal, no matter what language you speak in. And so his eyes glazed over, man. He looked at me. He says, I want to tell you something first. Like, what? Tell me something. He's looking at me right now. I'm telling me this. You know, almost like he's just got off a horse. He's from East Texas, you know. Hey, partner. You know, I mean, he didn't say it that way. But I thought, my God, what? And I'm not fixing to let go of him. No way. I got my knees on his stomach. I got my hands on his hands. First, I'm protecting him from everybody else. Now I'm protecting me from him, you know. And I said, thank God I didn't buy in the lie. You know, I said, shut up and come out of him in Jesus' name. And he started hollering, fire, fire, fire. I don't know what that is. You know, you can put anything you want on that and say, oh, he went to hell. No, devils don't go to hell when you cast them out. That's another doctrine that probably the devil, you know, got you to believe. They're still around out there, you know. And they're not all in your mother-in-law either. So, but anyway, he got completely set free. And he just went like that. And I thought, oh, God, I've killed this guy. He's died on me. And I'm in Bombay, India. Nowhere to hide. I mean, I had an afro. I had white. You know, my hair is real blonde. You remember what I used to look like. And I thought, I can't even run. There's nowhere to go. This guy's died on me in a service. But, you know, the Bible says they did that, though. It was said they just, you know, fall like dead men or whatever, fall out. And, you know, he came back, too, and he was just fine. We got him some water, and he was completely delivered. Completely set free. Do what? And he couldn't speak English anymore. Or East Texan. Either one. But anyway. How did I get off on that? I don't know what. Anyway, thank God for the supernatural power of God. Amen. Now, does that happen all the time? No. I can't think of one of y'all here I've cast the devil out of. It doesn't mean we won't do that one day, but. No, the point I was making is, you know, there's abuse in any area, but demon possession, I mean, it's obvious they are. It's not something you have to just, you know, I hear people just call everything a demon. Goodness gracious. You know, the spirit of lying, spirit of this, spirit of that. And, well, some people just lie. Most of what you don't need delivered, you just need to quit sinning. Hello. You just need to get a hold of the word and quit sinning. And there is deliverance. If that's there, it's going to be pretty obvious. And, boy, I tell you what, we can definitely pray with you and get you delivered because of the power in the name of Jesus. Amen. And God's all about setting you free. He is. He's not about you being addicted. Maybe there's an addiction you need deliverance from. That could happen. Some people are addicted and need to be set free and delivered in that area. Not everybody that's addicted is, but some people are. Some people need that. But you can get set free. There's hope. Amen. Hallelujah. He goes on, says this, in fact, the seventh verse, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of you for the profit of all. I love that. When a manifestation takes place, many people misinterpret this, and I do not believe this is the way it should be said. Some people say the gifts of the Spirit are for everybody in the whole church to operate in. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's what that verse means at all. In fact, emphatically, the Bible says that the gifts are divided severally as He will, and to one is given one, and to one is given another, and to another is given another. What does He mean here? Well, obviously, he means that when the manifestation comes, if someone were to give a tongue or interpretation, or someone come up and have a prophecy, Someone came up and a miracle took place. The manifestation was given for all of us to profit by. And we all profit from a gift of the Spirit. Are you with me? And we all should profit from it. It's not about just one person. It's about all of us being blessed by it. Amen? That's why we often say, you know, in the gifts, you don't want to showboat. You're not trying to exalt yourself. You don't want to draw attention to yourself. You want to draw attention to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to bless everybody. You know, someone can come up here and we can have a word for someone individually, an encouraging word, a tongue interpretation. You know, if your heart's right and you're out there, all that word was not for you, you'll get blessed by that. The manifestation is given to every man to profit with all. Hello. So we're all supposed to profit. The church should profit all of us. And the gifts flowing is a good thing for everybody. Amen. Not just for the individual maybe that received the direct manifestation, but all of us profit from that. So these gifts are from the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, directly from the Holy Spirit. They operate differently the way God chooses to use certain people. But all of us benefit from it. Hallelujah. And then he lists them in the 8th, 9th, and 10th verses. For to one is given. Everybody say, one is given.
One is given.
Now, he didn't say everybody was given this. He said, to one is given. He didn't say everybody. Now, you know, could you be used by God in one of these? Well, yeah, I guess I'm open for whatever God wants. But I also know scripturally, biblically, most likely I'm going to be used in one or more than one or more or mostly one. Anyway, let's start over. I need an interpretation. Anybody got an interpretation of that tongue I just gave? Most likely, I'm going to be used in one as opposed to all of them because of the way the Scripture says it. It's very plain. To one is given. To one is given. It didn't say to everybody. It says to one. But the manifestation's for everybody. Amen. The gift just comes to one, but the manifestation's for everybody. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. I've seen people that are evangelists have cards that operate in all nine gifts of the Spirit, you know. No, really, I've seen them put it on their card. Operate in all nine gifts. Well, I have a problem with that. I don't see that being the case. That's not scriptural for one thing. It's not what the Bible teaches. They may flow in one or two. Maybe as an evangelist, you might flow in two or three. Miracles would go along with evangelistic ministry. Are you with me? And I think as a pastor, I believe of necessity, God's going to use me in the area of interpretation of tongues because I'm up here and have the leadership of the church, and there has to be a flow. Are you with me? And I'm responsible for the flow. Everybody out here is not responsible for the flow. I'm actually responsible for the flow. Or whoever's up here ministering, or if it's the song leader or the worship team at that time, it has to come from up here, or it's just going to be chaos. You can't have everybody out here deciding what's going on in the service. Hello. Because then it'd just be anarchy, and it would just be everybody's whim or fancy, whoever felt like they wanted to do something, just get up, just take over. No, there has to be leadership, and there has to be oversight, and there has to be orchestration, as it were. And so that's what the leaders are for. In my case, the pastor, if I'm here. And so naturally, I would flow in an interpretation. If someone had a tongue, I would sense the movement of the Spirit, give a tongue, or else I may not sense something. Are you with me? I may not sense it. If that's the case, well, we'll just move on. And that's okay. You say, well, what if you miss it? Well, I've missed it before. You got to love me. But we still have to have order. Amen? It says here in 8th verse, one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Everybody say a word of wisdom. This is not wisdom, period. This is a word of wisdom. This is not just being smart. This is a word of wisdom. Y'all catch that? It's something that God gives and then it's gone. It's not something someone operates in 24 hours a day, but God moves on someone and shows them something that's going to happen, something dealing with the future. See, wisdom is predictive. Knowledge is present tense. Wisdom is predictive. Wisdom has to do with action. It gives you instruction. Sometimes someone will have a word from God and they'll say, God has shown, this is going to happen in your life and you need to do this, thus, and so. That's wisdom. Knowledge is, God show me something's going on in someone's life. God, show me someone who has something wrong in this area of their life or whatever. God, show me this is going on. That's knowledge. That's present tense. I remember Brother Osteen one time got up and said, and man, I was having pain in my upper left-hand molar. I was having some real pain up in my teeth area. And he got up, he was ministering. He says, he just stopped. He says, you know, I just sense that somebody in here is having pain in their upper left-hand molar. Well, there were 700-800 people at that time at Lakewood. They were just starting to explode at that time we started going. And now how in the world would he know that? That was the Holy Ghost. He said, if you'll stand up, God will heal you. And I stood up and that pain left me. That was a word of knowledge. He could not have known that any other way. I didn't even know Brother Osteen at that time. We just started going. I was still in my penny loafers without socks and my shirt tail out. Hadn't been saved that long. Hello. So there's a difference in wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom would be future tense. Knowledge would be present tense. You know, Jesus said, he that hears my sayings and does them is a wise man. So wisdom's active. Wisdom has instruction in it. Wisdom's something to do with the future. In that sense. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, knowledge being present tense. Through the Scriptures, prophets would know something. Samuel would know where things were. That was interesting. When Saul, lost his donkeys, Samuel the prophet knew where they were. That was a word of knowledge. He knew something that he could not have known any other way. Supernaturally, God revealed that to him. Then he goes on and says this, 9th verse, to another, faith by the same Spirit. That's not faith that we all have. Everybody has faith. But this is supernatural faith. This just comes on you and turns you into another man. You can believe for anything. Hello. It kind of goes along with miracles and healings. And sometimes people will do things, even in the Bible, that they normally would not do. Boldness will hit them. But then it would leave and they would just be like they were. I think oftentimes they probably step back after a miracle and something happened and think, my Lord, why did I do that? Yeah. See, faith hit them. Supernatural faith. It came and it left. Supernatural knowledge came and it left. They weren't operating all the time. See, that's the misunderstanding. You get a minister that flows in his gifts. You don't even want to go talk to them because you think they're going to look in your eyes and see every sin in your life. Well, there's no way they know that. They don't operate in it 24 hours a day. God just showed them something during the service. That's all. I mean, I have had that happen. I remember there was somebody that opposed our church when we started years ago. And I was in a gathering, a public gathering. Not somebody in our church, not somebody that goes here. They were really pretty hard against our church. And I was in a gathering, and I was just being nice. Because I just determined I was going to love everybody, and I figured everybody got to know me, they'd love me. They're just down on what they're not up on. And so I'd pray for them, not taking any of it serious. I just thought they're afraid of the dark, and they just don't know, and they'll love us and love our church. Just give it time. We pray for them and brag on them and love them. See, don't take things so seriously. Come on, you lighten up. People talk. That's just what people do. That you do the same thing. Just let it roll off you like water off a duck's back. Are you with me? I'm trying to help you. But anyway, I knew what was going on, and I'd been praying for these people and the people involved. And I was in a public gathering at a meeting, and I was talking to this person real nice, just shaking his hand. And I reached over and shook his wife's hand. And when I grabbed his wife's hand, I've never shared this. When I grabbed his wife's hand, the Spirit of God told me, while I'm looking at her now, I grab her hand. I hear everything they're saying about you, son. Let me tell you something that's going on in his life. Yeah. I'm shaking his wife's hand. And the Spirit of God told me that he was committing adultery and told me who he's committing adultery with. Now, that doesn't happen all the time, so don't be hesitant to shake my hand. I've only had that happen to me one time, okay, in 25 years. But it was God. Wow. It was definite. It was exact. 2 weeks later, it came out publicly, God showed me, just, and I didn't say a word. Not a word. Never told anybody. I've never even shared that in the church. That was 25 years ago. But see, that was a word of knowledge that God was, he was encouraging me about continue on doing the right, you continue on doing the right thing. I know what everybody's doing. But he didn't say I hated the guy. He didn't say he was against the guy. He just showed me that. So sometimes it might be something bad. Sometimes it's something good. Hallelujah. Come on. Now I hope it's good. I like the good ones better than I do the bad ones. I've had God show me things about people in the church, that wasn't always real good. Are you with me? And sometimes it was real good. I've had him show me things about my children. Supernaturally. Jerry, you know what I'm talking about. I don't know about Charity. God used to have to speak to me about her all the time. God told me about a guy she went to meet one time. You remember that? I didn't even, never even met the guy. And she was supposed to be going down to church. No, supposed to go to Walmart, excuse me. Walks in the back door. You remember this? Walks in the back door. She's looking sideways. Brookshire's, okay. She walks in the back door and I said, hey, you just went down to the church parking lot and met a guy named, I had his name. I knew his name. Am I telling you the truth? She turned white as a sheet.
She thought her sisters had ratted out on
her. She thought her sisters had told me. And I'm serious. And you know what the Holy Ghost told me? You stay away from that guy. The Holy Ghost told, and I told her, I said, the Holy Ghost told me that. You stay away from that guy. And she didn't, but anyway, we got it cleared up. We did finally get rid of that guy, didn't we? Yeah. I'm just sitting in the living room, minding my own business, reading my Bible. I wouldn't do, you know, and the Holy Ghost said, your daughter is at the church parking lot, meeting the guy named, gave me his name. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to say it. It wasn't Brad, okay? I'll tell you that, it wasn't Brad. Are you kidding? I prayed that she'd go out with Brad. I love Brad. I was on my knees. God, do something. Make her fall in love with this guy. I love this guy. Anyway, you know, we laugh and thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the supernatural power of God. I mean, I can't live without it. I've got to have it. It'll help you raise your kids. It'll help you in church. It'll help you in business. It'll help you in your life. Is it going to happen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? No, of course not. That's not, no, that doesn't happen. But sometimes the Spirit of God moves and reveals things like that to you. And if your heart's open, you know, when you do your best and you don't know what else to do, the Spirit, he'll move in there and say, hey, here's something you don't know. Here's something that'll help you.